Welcome to The Vault. Over Pastor Hal's 60 years of ministry, we at Life Ministry Church were blessed to hear some amazing sermons and teaching series. As God's word is timeless, the principles behind these messages still apply for today. We hope and pray that these messages will bless you as much as they did when Pastor Hal first delivered them.
So I want to talk to you about God seeks a man. And some years ago, I used these same scriptures. The message was different, but I used these same scriptures that I'm going to use tonight. I believe with all my heart that God can set men in their place according to his will for them. He set the stars in their place, the heavenly bodies, the galaxies, this earth. And he is well able to set us in our place. I have four scriptures I'd like you to read with me as I read them aloud, if you'd read them in your Bibles. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel chapter 22. God speaking to the Israelites. Some 500 or 600 years before the first advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. The Lord God speaking. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. But I found none. Jeremiah, just back a few pages, Jeremiah 5 and verse 1. Jeremiah 5, verse 1. Lord God speaking again. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. Or as the Amplified adds, seek for one uncompromising righteous person. John 19, Gospel of John, chapter 19 and verse 5. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. Behold the man. And lastly, Ephesians 4 and verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let us pray together. Father, I believe we are in this place tonight by divine appointment. I do not think that any one of us is here accidentally, but that we are here because your Holy Spirit has placed us here, and that you wish to speak to us individually and corporately from your word tonight. I pray that your word might have entrance to every heart. And I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God said, I sought for a man. Then he said, run down the streets and see if you can find a man. A man whose heart is perfect. Then Pilate said, "Behold the man." And then Paul said, "Unto a perfect man." God sought for a man and couldn't find one. So he sent a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he might lead us all into a perfect corporate man. God is seeking a man. You can be that man, and I can be that man. And when I use the word man tonight, as the Bible does, I'm talking of men and women, of course. I can be that man, you can be that man. Because in every one of us, in every Christian, dwells the Lord Jesus Christ by his Spirit and by his Word. And the man that God is seeking is that Christ man who is within you. Finally, he's going to gather us together into that corporate, perfect man. And the world's going to see that corporate man. And it's going to be such a glorious sight, for this is the true church. And once again, the cry roaring out across the whole world, "Behold the man!" As it sees this glorious church, which you and I, in the day we live in, will see come to pass. In Ezekiel, God sought a man and found no man. How terrible. That must be one of the most sad scriptures that is in the Bible. I sought for a man and found none. Back in the Garden of Eden, God cried, "Adam, where are you?" He was seeking for his man. And Adam was hiding. You know the story. Hiding behind a tree. God was seeking his man. And his man was hiding. Why was he hiding? He was hiding because of sin. He was hiding because he had decided to go his way instead of God's way. I wonder if any of us here tonight are hiding. Hiding from a God whose strong desire is to find you, and to cleanse you, and to comfort you, and to help you, and to find a man who will yield to him. God desires men and women, and he desires them with their heart turned toward him. And no wonder he seeks us, because he made us. And he made us that we might be in his image, thus saith the word of the Lord, that our hearts might be toward him and yielded to his kingdom with our lives given to his service. That's the way he made us. God is seeking you tonight, men and women. Why not be a different man to the sort of man that you are? God's eyes, the Bible says, are roaming to and fro across the whole of the earth to find a man. A man whose heart is perfect toward him. Preaching, you know, isn't putting words together. Preaching is endeavoring to feel as God feels and to speak out what God feels. And God seeks a man who feels as God feels. Back behind whatever he is, whatever his personality is, whatever his veneer is, God seeks a man who can feel as God feels. And that's the man he wants. Just as a woman seeks her child, or a shepherd seeks his lost sheep, or a father his son, so God is seeking you. He seeks you and he wants you. I believe in this place tonight, the Son of God is seeking at this moment. I believe he's calling tonight. I believe he's calling men and women right here in this place. He said, I sought a man among you to stand in the gap, to build up the wall, and I found none. God forbid that he could say that in this place tonight. I want you to turn with me to Numbers 16. Try and show you the sort of man that God is looking for from an old story. Numbers 16. This chapter tells us about the rebellion at Korah. God had appointed Moses and Aaron for the calling which they had and were carrying out. We're told in the beginning of the chapter that in verse 2, the 250 of the princes, famous in the congregation, men of renown, rebelled against God's appointed ones. Incredible story. Princes, famous men of renown, and they rebelled against Moses and against Aaron. God dealt with them, and in verse 35 they were killed by God. But there's more to it than that. Let's go down to verse 43. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer, put fire therein from off the altar, and put on censer, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. What a story for us. I can't talk about it tonight, but rebellion brings plague. Verse 47. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation. That took bravery. God had said, get up out of there. I'm going to consume them. But they, as it were, defied God and ran out with coals off God's altar to make an atonement for those people. And he put, and verse 48, and he, Aaron, stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, beside them that died about the matter of Korah. It's the 250 princes. And Aaron returned unto Moses, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Today, beloved, there is a plague upon humanity, just as real as that plague God put upon Israel. It's a plague of criticism, of unbelief, of uncleanness, of rebellion. And I don't care what walk of life you go into, Christian or non-Christian, wherever you go, you find it. I believe God's seeking for men and women who can stand in the gap, who can do what Aaron did, and can take what's available from God and go out between God and the people and make an atonement for them. Bring before the throne of God the atonement that Christ has already made, and stay the plague. That takes men of courage, men who can take what the plague is bringing and still stand firm and loyally and confidently before God and be willing to exercise their calling with assurance. In Exodus 22, we read how God was calling for a man in Jerusalem to man its broken walls, to stand in the gap. And without any doubt, that talks to us of our nation right at this very moment in history, of your city here in Melbourne right at this very moment. For it too has broken walls. It too has this plague upon it, and it too needs men to go and stand upon those walls. There's rebellion out there, there's lawlessness out there, there's filth out there, there's rudeness out there, there's disobedience out there, there's disloyalty out there, there's every work of the kingdom of darkness out there, sufficient to make men tremble if it were not for the power of God and the calling of God and the enabling of God upon their lives, that they might not only stand, but that they might serve God and be a light in the midst of the darkness that's increasing around about us. God seeks a man he can trust, a man of integrity, a man of character, a man who will stand in his stead and bring his life to the people. In Ezekiel 22, we have listed some of the sins that broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Tonight, I haven't time now to open this up as I intended to, but let me summarize, and you check your life as I go through these, and I'll just pick the headings. These are the things that God lists: idols, dishonest gain, despising holy things, profaning the Sabbath, lewdness, talking of lusts and obscenity, moral pollution, immorality within the family, priests being unholy. We are all priests under God. God said, my people have forgotten their God. And God's crying. He was crying back there. And he is today, and his heart's aching. And he says to the prophet, go to the city, see what I see, feel what I feel. And as you see their carefulness, carelessness, and their sinfulness, and their disobedience, then speak out the words that come to your lips, and I will be with you. How sane the story is, right at this moment. I want to tell you tonight that God knows your imperfections. He knows your shortcomings and mine. And we all know we have them. But understand that he looks for the man whose heart is perfect toward him inside. He's not looking for perfectness at this stage in your outer man, but he's looking for that perfect heart that cries out unto him, that feels as Christ's heart feels, and is willing to give his life to stand on that wall, to stand in the gaps. And it is something about rolling back the tide of darkness, the demonic tide that pours out of the pit of hell. against God's property today. God is seeking a man. What sort of a man? I think it's clear. First of all, a selected man. God seeks the selected man who will walk in his paths as he ordains. A man who is a product of his dealings. And once you yield to God, he will deal with you. For God is seeking to see himself in each one of us. Can I just say a thought here, a seed for you here? And that is that all of the dealings of God in each one of us are in harmony with his perfect will for us. We are kings and priests. Kings and priests of ages yet unborn. We have responsibilities ahead of us, not in this life, that are unthought of in our minds. And he wants now to find men and women whom he can train and shape until the world says, "Behold the man!" Until God can say, "I've brought them unto a perfect man." We're not just saved, beloved. We are mightily saved. Can you say amen? Amen? And we're saved to be like God. And we're saved for God. And we're saved for eternity. Where is the selected man? This selected man is right here in Life Ministry Centre. He's right up there in Sydney in Pastor Norm Baker's assembly. He's up in Brisbane, Pastor Trevor Chandler's assembly. But that selected man or woman is right here tonight also. God's got his men. And I believe he's knocking on their hearts. And he's saying, "It's you I want." And he's doing it to some hearts here tonight. God is seeking a man. What sort of man? Secondly, a separated man. You remember how Jesus took three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John, apart to that mountain. There he was transfigured before them. He didn't take anyone or everyone. He took a selected group. Men he could trust. We all, and I do it myself, so oft pray for the presence of God in some place. But beloved, if we were selected men, if we were separated men, we would be the presence of God in that place. River flows from the throne of God. Ezekiel tells us about it so clearly. And it flows with life. And we can be that word. We can be that house of God. We can be that man of God. Nothing to stop us. To the yielded, selected, separated man, there can be no independence. The first thing that has to go, you cannot reserve to yourself the right to do first what you want to do. But you must come into submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in submission to one another, in submission to God's government as he has set it in his church. Man who once submit runs off the rails. We see it time and time time again. He becomes a law unto himself, he goes his own way, and finally, of course, he is deceived. God needs a separated, he needs a selected man. God's seeking a man. What sort of man? Thirdly, he's seeking a spiritual man. He said, I sought for a man, a selected man, a separate man, a spiritual man, a man to make up the hedge, a man whom I can trust to stand in that gap. I believe the man that God is seeking will learn to flee material matters, except those which are essential. He'll learn to flee the chase for money. And I believe God wants us to be comfortable. He'll learn to flee investments. He'll learn to flee self-seeking. He'll start to be concerned with real values. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And beloved, my own testimony can add to that. And I'm not going into that in detail tonight. But when I left a very prosperous senior executive job in industry, went on to a pay which was less than what my tax had been, from that moment to this, I've never wanted. God has restored to me a wife. He's just restored to me a home. He's given me health. He's given me all that I need. And he's given me peace and tranquility in my spirit. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. I'll tell you now, whatever you lose of value for God, he'll repay it multiplied, perhaps not in kind, but with riches which won't rust or corrupt, and which thieves will never steal. So all heaven looks on as God seeks a man. In Isaiah 63 again, in verse 5, it says, God looked and there was none to help. God today is looking for that spiritual man who will stand for God in that gap. God's going to rest in that man when he finds him, and in that job that he gives to him. It mightn't be the job that man wants to do. God chooses to work through his men and his women. He chooses to work through that person. A spiritual man is most necessary, because we are entering into a time of spiritual warfare such as the world has never known. It interests me greatly that there are some, even in this assembly, who criticize spiritual warfare. I would commend to them to seek God and the Word of God very closely on that matter. For you are running a most tremendous risk to shut yourself off from the clear teaching of the Word of God, to shut yourself off from the capacity you have as a Christian to handle the problems in your life, which can be handled no other way in many cases, except through spiritual warfare, except through putting on the armor of God and taking the weapons of your warfare, which the Word lays down so clearly, and using them against the assaults and the attacks and the encroachment of the enemy upon your personal life and your personal family. So God needs a spiritual man who will learn how to fight spiritually,
learn how to stand. The Bible says in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those demonic powers in the heavenly realm. And you're going to have to learn to stand. And the only way you stand is through spiritual warfare. Every one of us will be tested. I have my own experience here. Because as I first started, as in the early years of my ministry, to preach deliverance against demonic power, my own wife, first wife, grew more and more seriously ill with nervous breakdowns and was bound by demonic power. We didn't know then what we know today. And she finally died, still bound. And I had the choice to make as to whether I would still stand on the platform and preach what the Word of God teaches so clearly, or believe the evidence of my eyes with my own wife and give it away and rationalize and compromise and preach a message which conformed more with what actually seemed to be happening on the ground. God seeks a man who will stand. And stand in the truth and the absolutes of this word. I believe God watches us as we yield to him, just to see how we react under pressure, under tragedies, in crises, to see how we react and stand in the face of disaster, to see if he's yet got a man who can stand in the gap. And you're going to meet great tests in the spiritual area. God seeks that man who can stand through those tests using the weapons he's provided. A man who still seeks the face of his God in the midst of all the vicissitudes and the difficulties and the pressures of life. I wonder how many tonight, with all the ruins of civilization beginning to be apparent around about us, who are willing to stand as a spiritual man in the gaps that you must surely be seeing in the walls of the society around about you, the gaps of this end day generation. God is seeking a man. What sort? Fourthly and lastly, he's seeking a strong man. A selected man, a separated man, a spiritual man, and a strong man. Jesus said in Luke 4:18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." God seeks a strong man who will receive that same spirit within himself and upon himself and go out boldly to meet the needs of this generation. Not presumptuously, not foolishly, but with the wisdom of God in a balanced way to preach the power of God available in every situation in the lives of those who are willing to be obedient and to fulfill the conditions that the Word of God lays down. Pilate said, "Behold the man." Paul said, "Press on unto a perfect man." And oh, how God is seeking men to make up that perfect man, to stand in the gap right where you are, possibly even in your own home For many homes have gaps that need strong men to stand in them, to fill the gap, to deny that home any longer to the enemy, and to let it become a holy place, a holy home, and a holy family unto their God. He's going to have his way, beloved, and you're going to see that perfect corporate man right across this earth. And again, the cry will ring out, "Behold the man, for there he'll be for every eye to see in his corporate manifestation." Oh, beloved, there's a glorious church that's going to come forth. I don't have to tell you what it's going to be made up of. It's going to be made up of the man I'm talking about, of the men and women I'm talking about. And that's a challenge. That's a price to pay. It's going to be men who will bring hope and freedom to many who are bound in this doomed old world. A man who's going to be willing to yield himself to the purposes of God and to the salvation of mankind as God uses him. Are you that man, that woman? Whether you are young or old, single or married, with children or without children. Unfortunately, I was in my late 30s when I came to the Lord. Hope none of you here are going to be that late in responding to God. Are you that man tonight? The man who feels the call of God in his spirit when God says, "I seek a man." The man tonight who will respond in his spirit and say, "Lord, I am that man. I've finished playing. I've finished being tricked by the enemy. I've finished playing at spiritual things. I'm breaking the bondages that Satan's put upon humanity off of me. I'm stepping out to stand for you and all that that means. Giving my life and my service to your call." The man that will be that selected man, that separated man, that submitted spiritual man, that strong man. That's the man that God is seeking tonight.